Chapter 12. Jason woke up clenching his hands so tightly they hurt. He rolled away from the sleeping hut's wall and peered toward his dad's comm unit, on a stack of mud blocks at the foot of his cot. Something had been flung over the chrono, and he could see only a pale red glow. The night felt old, though. Old and deadly. He sat upright, shut his eyes, and tried measuring the feeling. Under his uncle's tutelage, he'd worked on developing his danger sense. It had saved him in several tight situations. If those had been flickers, this was a full-fledged conflagration. It occurred to him that he didn't hesitate to use the force this way, not in the least. "I'm just listening. There's nothing aggressive about it." He threw on the nearest clothes and slipped outside. Along the dusty lane, he eyed the next hut for those mysterious worms. Several days earlier, the youngsters had stopped bringing them in. They couldn't find any more. At least that was one less thing to worry about. He found Jaina several huts down. Nothing was obviously threatening her, so he scratched that danger off his mental list. Silently, he opened her door and peered in. The grizzled Rin woman's snore had a high whine, like the falcon halfway through its warm-up. Jaina slept on her back. Normal sleep, not a healing trance. He could barely see her by the dim light of outdoor security lamps. Her hair had just enough curl to stick straight up in the front, like his often did when he woke up. He tiptoed over to her cot and dropped his hand onto her shoulder. "Jaina," he whispered. Her eyes fluttered open, and she turned her head.
"Jace? What is it?"
"Sorry to wake you," he whispered. "Come outside so we can talk."
He led the way into the lane between huts. The big overhead lights gleamed faintly, giving the illusion of a necklace of moons under the gray dome. He caught the faint odor of Rin and a whiff of frayed Bedjie stew. Jaina stood beside him. In the dimness, her vision mask looked like a military night sight.
"You don't have to tell me," she said brusquely. "Something's wrong."
"You feel it too?"
He glanced around. Blue-roofed huts, hydroponics tanks, the control shed's inner corner, jutting into the dome. Nothing looked amiss. She nodded.
"Danger. To the whole colony."
Jaina shut her eyes and leaned against the hut's exterior, frowning hard.
"Look at her," Jason's inner voice taunted. "You'll rely on somebody else's casual force use. What kind of hypocrite are you?"
"I just don't dare to stumble," he answered the voice. "I'm the one who was warned, not Jaina." She shook her head and tucked a strand of hair back up under her mask.
"I can't find anything wrong," she said. "Sith spawn, I hope we don't have Vong on the way."
"One way to find out." He led toward the control shed. Rhonda lay wedged along the back wall, snoring softly. Jaina told the night tech about their sensation.
"We don't know what it is," she said, "but we're both getting it. Keep a tight watch."
"Yes, ma'am."
The young human tossed off a casual salute. Back outside, Jaina paused at an intersection of two lanes.
"Okay, brother. You're the one with the functioning eyesight. Get a good look."
She reached toward an illumination control. Jason almost stopped her. If she turned on the day lamps, she'd wake up the whole colony. Maybe for nothing. This didn't feel like nothing, though. He ducked back into the shed and seized a pair of macro binoculars off the supply wall. Clutching them against his chest, he climbed a set of rungs up the shed's exterior wall as the big lights came on. Then he peered out over the colony. Nothing. Nothing. And nothing. No skulkers, no lurkers, no obvious breaches or... Wait. A flock of large moths, or maybe small birds, gathered around one of the day lamps.
Adjusting the Macrobinox resolution control, he got a closer look. More moth than bird, he decided, though the black wings didn't divide quite right. They had horns instead of antennae, and large white imitation eye spots on their black backs. He zoomed out again, swept the binocs back and forth, and spotted a larger group of them, seemingly plastered against the dome's underside, up near the top.
"What is it?"
Jaina called up at him. "I'm not sure. Looks like... huh. Almost looks like young Minox or..." Spotting movement at the corner of his peripheral vision, he sighted the binox down and left. Close at hand, one of the creatures fluttered up from under a hut's blue eaves. He clambered down. Telling Jaina, "I'll be right back," he sprinted up the lane to the hut where the creature had taken flight. He looked up and down and around, and there, under the eaves, something papery dangled from the synthplast roof panel. He flicked it free, then examined it on his hand.
"What?"
Jaina's voice demanded behind him. His mind flashed back to Yavin 4, a menagerie he'd kept in his room, and a collection of pupa cases, where his pegglers had overwintered, to emerge in the spring as exquisite rose wings. His insides congealed. "Wake Dad up," he said. "Fast. I'll activate the Erd-LL droids." The infestation had vanished because the worms had pupated. Now they were emerging as airborne adults. Whatever they ate, Jason was willing to bet that up out of everyone's reach they were laying eggs for a second cycle of destruction. Settlement 32 might have a few weeks to find and destroy the eggs, but his danger sense said otherwise. They were feeding now, in numbers that all the dome's emergency repair droids wouldn't be able to stop. He armed the Erd-LLs, hybridized binary load lifters with long telescoping waists, with the only tools he could find, batter beaters from the open-air kitchen booth. Two sleepy wrens staggered out of the nearest shelter, leaning against each other. One squinted, while the other pointed at the near Erd-LL. It swung a batter beater, knocking loose a flurry of the seemingly white-eyed creatures. Fluttering along behind its swath, the white eyes settled back against the dome's underside. Jason switched on his comlink and pressed in an ID sequence.
"Yo," a Rin voice growled. "Did somebody lose track of the day cycle?"
"Romani," Jason said, "I need you. Emergency." Jaina came back at a quick walk.
"Dad's coming."
"Good. Go wake up the Vors and get a rebreather count." For the Vors, a breach could be deadly. That winged race was superbly adapted for its own atmosphere. But off Vortex, Vors' lungs were notoriously twitchy. Jaina headed up the lane. Next, he called Netza. He met her and Romani, who brought his lieutenant Ravana, at the open area at the center of the Rin group's wedge of huts. By this time, Han had arrived. "Quietly," Han said, "without panicking anybody, get your people suiting up, just in case." Jason broke in. "At the moment, I'm more afraid of a stampede than a breach. But we haven't done a breach drill in too long. Call it a drill, if anyone will believe you." Metza honked scornfully and jogged away. Romani slipped into the nearest hut. "Okay, kid. This way." Han led Jason to the dome's center, where he pulled out a large blue tank with hose and nozzle. "I told Selcor this was useless, that we wouldn't be cleaning the ceiling. Guess I was wrong." Jason helped him haul the tank to the hydroponics area, where one of the Erd-LL droids was uselessly brushing white eyes aside. "Down," Han barked. "Retract." The droid telescoped downward. Han secured the tank on one metal arm, then grabbed the droid's other hand.
"Give me a boost," he grunted.
Jason was reaching forward when a large furry object catapulted between himself and his father.
"I can do that,"
Droma announced. He clambered up nimbly.
About time you got here, wire hair.
Han brushed dust off his sleeves.
Think you can figure out...
Up! Droma honked. The Erd-LL elevated again.
The nimble Rin gripped a metal loop on the droid's large flat hand, locking his feet, ankles, and prehensile tail around a rigid extension arm.
What's in the tank? Jason demanded. It was about to come showering down on everyone's heads.
Don't know, Han admitted. Supposed to be non-toxic, even to Vors.
6 minutes later, they knew it wouldn't harm the white eyes either. They kept fluttering up from under eaves. Rin roamed the settlement, crushing intact pupae, but for every white eye they found, 10 more flew up to the dome and started chowing down. Gina sprinted back.
The Vors need 38 more rebreathers, Dad.
Han fixed Jason with a stare.
Think you can talk 38 Rin or humans out of their breath masks?
Jason gulped. I guess...
Look at this!
Droma shouted. He slid down the Erd-LL's midsection, holding something in one hand. Jason, Han, and Jaina circled him. Droma held up a clear spray nozzle. Trapped inside, a white eye attacked the synthplast nozzle with relish. Viewed from below, its mouthparts looked like twin rasps. They ground against the clear surface, and then rotated inward, swallowing the dust.
Worse than Minox, Han grunted. That's it. Jason, get on the horn to Gateway. I'll get a few Vors into landspeeders. We're getting out.
Jason sprinted back to the control shed, counting days in his mind. Gateway should have had a comline crew out late yesterday, if they were on schedule. If the lines were down, though, 32's only hope was to load up the caravan ships and hunker, praying their air scrubbers functioned long enough for rescue to arrive, or else to lift off on repulsors and head for another settlement. Some of those ships barely had made it here, and some refugees were dropped by ships that traveled on. Rhonda sat up. Slowly blinking his huge eyes, he belched. Jason ignored him and strode to the comtech.
I need Gateway. Intercolony assistance.
The tech punched panels. To Jason's relief, a crisp voice came back instantly.
Gateway.
Gateway, this is 32. We've got a breach pending, a big one. We need the evacuation crawlers.
On their way. What kind of breach? Can it be mended?
I don't know. We've got some kind of an infestation.
Copy that. We'll have the crawlers to you in about...
Pause.
26 minutes. Meanwhile, keep your people calm. Get them in breathers and chem suits if you can, and aboard whatever crawlers you have on hand.
We have one small crawler, Gateway. They used it to move ships off the landing crater and under shelter.
Affirmative, one crawler. Load it.
Jason faintly heard another voice, evidently someone else near the person who'd greeted him.
32, the voice came back. What kind of infestation?
Jason hesitated.
We're, already suiting them up. Thanks, Gateway. 32, the voice repeated firmly. Describe infestation.
Jason admitted,
nothing I've seen before. I'll save you a sample.
A different voice spoke over the link.
Make sure it's tightly contained, 32.
Will do. Jason turned around to see Rhonda rising on his long, strong tail.
What is this?
The hut demanded.
We're evacuating the dome, Jason told him. Those little worm creatures have metamorphosed into something like moths. They're all over the dome's underside, eating it.
Use the force, Rhonda demanded. Crush them. Choke them.
Jason tried to imagine seizing hundreds of tiny creatures, throttling the life out of them. No, he said. Too many of them.
You haven't tried.
Rhonda slithered forward.
Listen, Rhonda.
Jason didn't need this. You can get in the way, or you can help. Get your breath mask and help keep order.
We're about to take 1,200 scared people through one gate.
You ask me to direct traffic?
Rhonda puffed out his chest.
Me? Rhonda Besotti Diori, you ask?
Jason pushed past the hut toward the shed's door. All right, then. Just stay out of the way. Stay in here, he added, turning around. As soon as Gateway's crawlers call in, ready to load, comlink me. This quarter of the dome teemed with refugees, some of them masked, a few chem-suited. A family of Vouvrians staggered past, bobbing their huge heads to point first one eye, then another, up at the dome's underside. Their faces reminded Jason of deflated balloons, with perpetually puckered mouths and knobbed, drooping tentacles. Right in front of him, a Rin pointed a blaster at the dome. Jason rushed forward, shouting, "Put that away!" He was about to stretch out with the force when the Rin fired a blue stun burst. The energy dissipated before it reached the growing moth colony. "Good try," Jason said grimly, "but we've got a no-blaster policy." He grabbed the Rin's weapon and tucked it into his belt. Atop the other Erd-LL's outstretched arms, two Rin clung and swatted white eyes with long-handled kitchen tools. A few mangled moths fell to the ground. Others fluttered around the Rin. One Rin dropped his spatula and got busy swatting moths off the other, and himself. The winged Vors would have been incredibly helpful in a larger dome, but 32 was too small for them to maneuver, and one whiff of Duro stink might kill them. They shuffled along on the ground, huddled around their young. Jason comlinked on. 22 minutes, he said. They want us in breathers and chem suits. Tell Metza and Romany. I've got a droid freezing up. Jason spotted Rhonda, pushing out through the assembled crowd toward the hydroponics area. He sprinted to intercept the hut. What are you doing? He demanded softly. Get back to the gate and stay put.
I will lock down the food supply against our return.
Dad's got a Vouvrian crew working on that. Go on, get back.
If you try to give me orders, young Jedi, you will regret it.
Jason shifted his approach. Not orders, Rhonda. We need you. Please, do it our way. Help keep those people from wandering away from the gate. If they do, we'll have a stampede when the crawlers get here. Muttering a retort, the hut turned tail and slithered back toward the gate. Jason took a deep breath and looked over the Rin area. Other than Rhonda, the alert was going well, with the last families donning gear and proceeding toward the gate area, except for the SWAT team, still hard at work atop its Erd-LL droid. Close to the Vor quarter, a dribble of gray haze started flowing from the area thickest with moths. The colony's breach siren sounded, a low electronic moan. The hindmost Vors, still emerging from their huts, shrieked and erupted forward, a mass of slender limbs and long faces. Jason sprinted toward them. The forefront of the charging contingent hit him and spun him against a rough mud-brick surface. Winded, he took a few deep breaths. Then he spotted a Vor without a breath mask. Here, he shouted, tossing his own. The delicate-looking creature jammed the mask over his pointed face and pushed on. Then he spotted another gray dribble. Moths skittered away from the second breached spot, settled closer to a strut, and started chewing again. Jason hoped Duro's atmosphere would kill the creatures. He grabbed his comlink. Dad? Gateway's here, Junior. Bring him on. Copy that. Jason thumbed off the link and pressed away from the wall. One of the Vors staggered and fell. A Rin bounded up and gathered the slender female into his arms. Two Vors turned around, shouting something, and grabbed their kinswoman back from the Rin. Thanks. Jason clapped the Rin on one shoulder. Go on, go ahead. I'll bring up the rear. He scrambled up onto a roof and got one good look. The entire colony had streamed out onto the lanes, pressing toward the gate like fizz brew against a bottle cap.
Some stragglers were spinning around, pointing up at the two, now three, breached spots, ducking and cowering like 10-year-olds with a crystal snake loose in their quarters. A gray cloud boiled down over the Vor's huts. Jason caught a whiff of Duro's ghastly odor, the concentrated stench of thousands of abandoned Imperial war factories. He held a fold of his vest over his mouth while he strode toward the gate. Arin met him, wearing a full chemsuit and mask.
"What else do you need?"
it wheezed in Romani's voice. "Has anyone checked your people's shelters? If we leave anyone behind to sleep, they might miss the ride out." Romani pulled two hefty adults out of line to assist him, then demanded the chemsuits of a less muscular pair.
"We're going back," he explained. "We could be here for a while. Go on, get on board."
The others protested. Jason left them to their argument and pressed back into the control shed. Rhonda and the Comtech were gone. Jason peered out the view bubble. Outside, five enormous idling vehicles reminded him of hydroponics tanks laid side to side and joined over three axles, each of their knobby tires bigger than five refugee huts. Flexible cofferdams had been extended to three of them. Colonists wearing full suits streamed away from the boarding tubes through Duro's perpetual fog, toward the farthest vehicle, directed by similarly suited Selkor personnel. He pushed out of the shed into the mob. More Selkor crewers had taken control of the boarding area, directing refugees forward. To Jason's dismay, Rhonda slithered forward, knocking down Rin and humans in his rush to reach the gate.
"Hey!"
Han's voice rose. Jason spotted him standing on a stack of crates.
"Back off, Rhonda. Push like that and you'll be the last one on board."
The hut drove on, parting the wave of refugees like one of Lando's cruise ships at full throttle. Han drew a blaster.
"Hold it right there, Rhonda. If I let you do this, there's no stopping anyone."
Rhonda halted, glaring back over his shoulder. Refugees paused to help up the ones Rhonda had bowled over, then streamed around him. Jason spotted a young mountain of belongings alongside the gate, and an officious-looking Twi'lek in a Selkor chemsuit directing refugees to drop their bundles before he let them pass. Jason sidled alongside the Selkor man. "Look," he murmured, "these people have hardly got anything left to call their own. Don't beggar them all over again." The Twi'lek spread his pale hands.
"We will send back for your belongings. For now, saving life is our priority. Wait, what's that?"
An elderly human woman clutched one hand to her chest and supported her husband with her other arm. Something black and furry stuck up out of the woman's bunched coat. The Twi'lek seized the coat and fingered it open. A furry bundle clung to the woman, splaying four scrawny limbs against her tunic. Jason recognized a young whisper kit, betrayed by one quivering ear.
"Sorry," the Twi'lek grunted. "Don't know how you got a pet this far, but it can't come aboard."
The woman's blue-gray eyes thickened.
"Sir, we're keeping it safe for our grandson. He's with the Fifth Fleet, and we promised—"
Saving life. Priority. The galaxy teetering on a balance point the size of one frightened whisper kit. Jason shoved forward and tugged the Twi'lek's fingers off the woman's coat. "If we don't see it, it isn't here." He turned around and glared at the Selkor official. "How much," he muttered, "does a whisper kit eat or breathe, compared with what leaving it here would do to morale?" The Twi'lek set his knobby jaw.
"What whisper kit?"
Jason backed away. The Duro stink grew stronger with every breath. The last mixed mob of Rin and Vuvrians pressed forward, dropping bundles in their haste to reach the cofferdams. The final refugees trampled the bundles. Droma flicked Han a salute.
"That's everybody, Solo."
Han lowered his blaster.
Go on, Rhonda. Jason, stun him if he gives you trouble, but don't leave him here.
Jason followed the fuming Hutt up the near-crawler's boarding ramp as Han sprinted past. Rhonda halted just inside the hatch, blocking Jason's way. Three Celcor crewers loped up behind Jason.
Come on, one urged. We're moving out.
Rhonda, Jason shouted. Farther in!
The Hutt turned his head, rumbling angrily.
Your father said I would be the last one on board, so this crawler is full.
Something pushed Jason from behind. He fell over Rhonda's surprisingly solid body. The Hutt's muscular tail whipped around, flinging several Wren against other refugees. One fell senseless. Jason thumb-checked the stun setting on his confiscated blaster, leveled it at the Hutt, and fired. Rhonda drooped. Hoots, whistles, and muffled applause broke out on board. Something dug into Jason's ribs.
Nice going, Jaina growled.
He exhaled. Glad you're aboard.
What was that about not being aggressive?
He was hurting people. Jason returned the blaster to his belt, and I wasn't using the force.
And the Yuuzhan Vong aren't hurting people? So they shouldn't be stopped with everything we've got?
Ignoring her sarcasm, Jason braced himself against the hatch. The crawler started to vibrate.
Everybody get steady, he shouted. This road's a little rough.